sick today, Mother. I can't work.
You must, Tuz. You know what will happen if the taskmaster catches you not working.
Like they did to Cato yesterday. Just threw him in the ash heap to die. Because he broke his arm and couldn't work.
It often happens to those who work in the caverns with the fires.
That's not fair.
Nothing is fair about being a slave.
We work from sunrise to sunset in this heat and dust, and I'm always hungry.
I know, dear.
Now I'm sick. Oh. I want to die. What's the use of living?
Oh, we were proud once, Tuz, over in Galatia, on our little farm, raising goats. But then your father...
I know. You told me how he gambled our farm away, and we were sold as slaves. I can hardly remember those days. Seems so long ago. I just wish I had some green grass to play on, some goats to lead up the mountains again. Oh, to be back there again.
I'm afraid, son, it'll never happen.
I gotta lie down. No, no, don't get me.
What's the matter here? You can't lie around when there's work to do. Get up, boy. You must finish hammering out this bronze vase before sunset, or you don't eat.
He'll finish, sir. I'll see to it. Don't hurt him again.
Quiet, woman. You mind your own work, or we'll send both of you to the caverns and the fires.
We'll do our work, sir.
You'd better. Come on, slaves, get busy.
I'm busy, sir. I'm working.
That's better. And don't stop until the sun sets.
Soon, Tuz, night will come and we can rest. At least we hammerers of the bronze can rest. You know what it's like in the caverns where your Uncle Bias works. There's no night or day there. They work until they drop from exhaustion. The burning metal spits out on them and burns their flesh. Oh, Tuz, we must not be sent down there.
There's no hope for us, is there, Mother? No hope at all.
Hello, everyone. We're so glad you're with us for another exciting story from the time of the apostles and the young Christian church.
It was a time when the Roman Empire was very strong, and slavery was common and often very cruel. In some parts of the empire, 2 out of 3 people were slaves.
Slavery is very wicked, and it must have been terribly difficult for the boy Tuz and his mother. Where did they live?
Thousands of slaves like them lived in the city of Corinth, in what is called Greece today. In fact, there were at least several 100,000 slaves in Corinth when the Apostle Paul went there.
Oh, it must have been a very busy place.
Corinth was a very busy harbor, and it was built on a narrow stretch of land between the Aegean and Ionian Sea. Many ship captains chose to have their goods taken across this strip of land rather than braving the trip around the treacherous cape. Corinth was also the center for bronze throughout the Roman Empire. The Corinthians possessed a secret formula for mixing copper with tin and other metals. Their smelting ovens were in deep caverns, hollowed out of the rocks, and manned by slaves. These slaves had the hardest and most dangerous work of all. Their owners didn't want the secrets of their bronze to leak out to other places, so the slaves were kept chained all their lives in the caverns. Outside by the shores and up and down the streets were endless rows of hammerers like Tuz and his mother. They hammered and filed the bronze objects to the desired shape.
You mean even children did this work?
Yes. Children often were hammerers. And you can be sure their life was very hard and often very short.
Oh.
Frequently, filings got into their eyes, and they gradually went blind.
Oh, how terrible.
Or, if they became too ill to work, they were then cast out to die among the ash heaps.
But it was into this kind of city that the Apostle Paul came and preached the good news of Jesus Christ?
Paul brought the love of God into a very loveless city.
That's what I want to hear about.
Slave boy of Corinth.
Corinth was a wicked city, almost completely given over to idol worship. It was also a very busy commercial center, with torches burning throughout the night, lighting up its streets, theaters, and temples. Slaves worked from sunup to sundown, stopping only for the darkness, and resting in caves and huts on the outskirts of town. Here it was quieter.
I baked you some barley cakes, Tuz, and here's a cup of water.
I'm not hungry, Mother. I just want to sleep.
No. No, Tuz. You must eat something to keep up your strength. Tuz, listen to me. You must eat something. Here, dear, I'll help you.
All right. I'll try.
Good. Good boy. Oh, who's there?
It's me, Seven. Is Tuz here?
Yes, I'm here. Come up close to the fire.
Oh, but it feels good to sit down. We finished unloading the copper ship early.
From Cyprus?
Of course.
How was it today?
Hot and dusty as always. It's not easy being a carrier. Tomorrow I have to haul the copper to the caverns. Perhaps I'll see you.
I might not be there.
What do you mean? You'll be on the Street of the Hammerers, won't you?
Tuz is very sick.
Uh-oh, that means you won't be able to come with me to the house of Titus Justice.
What's there?
I've been going there to hear a preacher from Jerusalem. His name is Paul, and he really has some good news to tell.
There's no good news to a slave.
He speaks of God, who treats all people alike. Slaves, masters, rich and poor.
There's no such God.
But I feel good inside when I listen. I feel free from fear. I feel like I have life.
Life for a slave? There's nothing good about that.
No, no. I feel free. I can't explain it. Why don't you come with me tomorrow night, after the sun goes down? You'll see what I mean.
Perhaps I will, if I'm alive.
I'll pray for you that you will be well. I'll pray to the God who loves even slaves.
A God who loves slaves? A God who loves slaves? Like me?
Having finished his labors for the time being in Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens, Paul moved on to the city of Corinth. There he fell in with a Jew named Aquila. He and his wife, Priscilla, had recently arrived from Italy. Because Aquila and Paul were of the same trade, Paul made his home with him and his wife, and they carried on business together, making tents. Paul also held discussions in the synagogue, Sabbath by Sabbath.
Here, this way, Tuz. There's a corner left for us right there.
But I'm just a slave, and there are some rich people here. They'll chase me away.
I tell you, it doesn't matter. Now come along.
I can't believe I'm here with these people.
Shh, that's Paul going up front.
He doesn't look like a preacher.
He's not. He's a tent maker, along with those two, Aquila and Priscilla.
Tent makers? Workers like us?
Shh. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you are all welcome here at the house of Titus Justice. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ is welcome here.
Who is this Jesus?
Shh. You'll see.
It is from God alone that you have your life through Jesus. In him there's no slave or master. You are all equal. He loves each one of you. All of you together are the house of God, and the Spirit of God lives among you.
This God loves even me?
Yes, yes. Shh, there's more.
Now, the Christ I speak to you about did actually rise from the dead, and because he did, you may too. Christ rose first, and when he comes back, all his people will become alive again, all to live free in him.
Is that true, Zenon?
Yes, of course it is. I feel it in my heart. This Jesus will give us a new life as free people.
It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye when the last trumpet is blown. For there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, never, never die. And then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies too.
There is hope. For even me.
Jesus gave us a way to remember his death and resurrection and his coming again. So tonight, we will eat the Lord's Supper.
What is this Lord's Supper?
You must take part. We have a meal together, just as Jesus did with his disciples.
Me? A slave? Eat with these people?
Yes, we are all one in Jesus. We are God's family.
You mean I'm not a slave here?
We are all brothers and sisters, and God is our Father.
It's too good to be true. But it is true, isn't it?
Yes, Tuz, it is true.
And so even slaves found hope. And they told other slaves. So the good news of Jesus took hold in Corinth among people of all kinds. Sailors and captains from a dozen countries learned about Jesus. Merchants and travelers heard the good news of the Savior. Yet, Paul felt discouraged. What he was doing hardly seemed to make a dent in the wickedness of the city. Every day and night, thousands of worshippers went up to the temple of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of lust. Paul had never seen a more wicked city.
Brother Paul, Your fingers are very fast on the loom, but it seems your thoughts are elsewhere.
You read me well, Aquila. Yes, I'm discouraged. Corinth doesn't seem to offer much hope for the good news of Jesus.
Yes, it's a very wicked city. Why, even in Rome, when we were there, people would say, he sins like a Corinthian. But think of the people who have become believers here, Paul.
And that's another worry. It seems just when a Christian church is becoming strong, the Jewish leaders make trouble. It happened in Philippi, in Thessalonica, and in Berea. And now Sosthenes and the leaders here are becoming angrier and angrier.
But Crispus has become a believer,
yes.
And he's a leader. And Stephanus and his household and Gaius have become Christians, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just nobodies.
Only I could stay in one place long enough to work with people like them and train them.
Perhaps you will, Paul.
I hope so.
That night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision.
Paul, don't be afraid. Speak out and do not quit, for I am with you, and no one can harm you. Many people here in this city belong to me.
That was a reassurance Paul needed. Immediately he expanded his preaching and teaching. He spoke to slaves, weary laborers, dock workers, sailors, and shopkeepers. In the shadows of the heathen temples of Greece, the first Christian fellowship in Corinth grew stronger and stronger. The love of God reached throughout the city, even to the street of the hammerers and into the caverns of the metalworkers.
Friends, listen. This Jesus died for all so that all might live. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. But God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us.
And many like Tuz and Zenon could say,
yes, that's true. I have a new life in Jesus. No matter what happens, I'm free in Jesus.
Jesus loves me, even though I'm a slave. Jesus loves me, I know.
Paul rejoiced in the victories, but he knew a storm of troubles was just around the corner. The Apostle Paul was building a strong Christian church in Corinth, with people from all walks of life becoming believers. Now Paul was anxious for his two companions, Silas and Timothy, to join him. One day, perhaps as Paul was busy stitching a tent or a sail, two men entered the little shop on the street of the tent makers.
Paul. What? Brother Paul. Paul.
Brother Paul. Oh,
Silas, Timothy, brothers. Oh, sons. Praise the Lord, you've come at last.
Yes, Paul, we've come. We wanted to come much sooner, but we had much to do in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea.
Even so, it was difficult to come.
Now, quick, tell me about the believers in Philippi. How are the ones in Thessalonica doing? Are there many persecutions? Oh, and Berea. My dear brothers in Berea, how is Jason and Lydia and the jailer in Philippi and all the
Whoa,
ones...
Oh, Paul, we have time to tell you everything.
Oh, brothers, oh, please forgive me. First, you must be refreshed from your long journey and have something to eat. Then we can talk.
Silas and Timothy took only a short time to be refreshed, for they were just as anxious to tell Paul all the news as he was to hear it.
Well, Timothy,
Where shall we begin?
We'd better tell Brother Paul everything, or he'll pester us with questions until we do.
Well, Paul, all are faithful to the Lord. In fact, the Philippi Church has sent you another gift of money to help you preach. There. It comes with their love.
Oh, blessed be God for the Philippians.
There are persecutions in Thessalonica, but they have endured well, and the number of believers has grown greatly.
But there are small problems.
Problems? Well, what are they? Now, don't hold back anything. I know that small problems can eat away the strength of a church.
Timothy and Silas told the Apostle Paul about many of the misunderstandings in the Thessalonian church. Paul's name was being attacked by some enemies. A few of the believers were still living immoral lives, and there were some who had stopped working, for they expected Jesus to return very soon. All the problems bothered Paul greatly.
Oh, to see them all again, just to talk to them for a few hours. Can I go back to them now?
To go back now, Paul, would be foolish. Many would try to kill you on sight, and I'm afraid more persecution would follow.
Yes, you're right, of course. But what can I do to help them? If only I could appear before them just once. Just once, and talk to them.
You can. Write a letter.
What?
A letter from you would be like having you there.
But I'm not much of a letter writer.
The Lord will guide your words.
And I can write them down for you.
Yes, I'll need your help. My handwriting is large and clumsy. Good. Timothy, go to the marketplace and buy some papyrus. Silas, get the brush and ink ready.
Soon Timothy returned with many sheets of thin papyrus. Silas had the brush and ink ready. He sat down, dipped the brush into the ink, and held it ready over the papyrus.
Let's see. Silas, write this. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church at Thessalonica. To you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, may blessing and peace of heart be your rich gifts from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord.
So began another of Paul's famous letters, which would become part of the New Testament and the Bible.
Dear brothers, pray for us. Shake hands for me with all the brothers there. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the Christians, and may rich blessings from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, everyone.
Is that it, Paul?
Yes. Yes, that's all. I hope it's enough.
It's a great letter, Paul. You've put your heart into it.
Timothy, I'm asking you to take this letter to the Thessalonian church quickly. Strengthen their faith. And after you've done that, come back to me with word from them.
I'll do that.
God will be with you, my son.
They prayed and hugged farewell, and Timothy tucked the letter safely into the sleeve of his robe and hurried for the city of Thessalonica. Month after month, in the house of Titus Justus, Paul continued to teach both slaves and free people about Jesus Christ. Paul also went out into the marketplace to talk to others about God's love. The gift of money from the Philippian church made it possible for him to spend all his time in telling others of the good news.
I preach Christ crucified and risen. You can all become new men and women through Jesus Christ. Yes, to some the cross seems like foolishness, but through it, God saves you.
But the more the Christian community grew, the angrier grew the hatred and jealousy of the synagogue leaders. Crispus, who had been the leader of the synagogue before becoming a Christian, warned Paul about the trouble that was coming.
Paul, the storm clouds are gathering and are ready to burst. Even now a mob is forming to take you before the new governor, Gallio.
Gallio, huh?
The Jewish leaders think that he will support them because he is a man of peace and wouldn't want any trouble in Corinth.
So, they plan to make trouble and blame it on me?
That's the plan. What do you plan to do about it?
Go right on preaching and teaching.
Aren't you afraid?
No. The Lord has promised that no harm will come to me in this city. It is his work. He'll take care of it.
I'd be afraid. the synagogue leaders will stop at nothing to get rid of you.
The storm clouds did burst. The angry mob surged upon the house of Titus Justus and dragged Paul to the governor's court, where Gallio presided.
Treason!
There's treason in our city!
Yes, sir! Treason!
He speaks against freedom!
Treason!
All right, quiet down. Guard, quiet this mob!
Quiet!
That's better. This is a Roman court of justice. And I, as governor, demand respect. Now, what is the problem here?
Your Honor, I am Sosthenes, the new leader of the Jewish synagogue.
Yes, go on. Why have you brought this man before me?
Your Honor, this traitor, Paul, is a troublemaker, seeking to persuade men to worship God in ways against the Roman law.
Is that right?
Your Honor, we bring him before you for judgment and punishment.
But has he committed any crime?
He teaches men that the Messiah has come.
The Messiah of Israel?
Yes, Your Honor, and he calls him King.
And you don't think your Messiah has come?
No, Your Honor.
I see.
Your Honor, may I speak in my behalf?
I presume you are this Paul.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm here...
It isn't necessary for you to say anything.
He won't let Paul speak.
That's good. He's as good as dead.
It isn't necessary to defend yourself before me. Listen, you Jews. If this were a case involving some crime, I would be obliged to listen to you. But it is merely a bunch of questions about words and personalities and your silly Jewish laws.
Your Honor!
You take care of the matter. I am not interested, and I am not going to bother with it.
But Your Honor!
I have heard enough. Guards, drive the mob out of here.
No!
With whips and the butts of spears, the guards drove the mob out of the judgment area. A large group of Greeks had gathered to watch the trial. When they saw that Gallio drove the Jews out, they grabbed Sosthenes and beat him up. Gallio turned his back to it all and called for the next case.
Well, Paul, they won't bother you again.
No. Not while Gallio is the governor.
Yes, that's good. Gallio himself declared that the Christians weren't breaking any Roman law. Now we can work more freely.
Paul went right back to preaching and teaching. But he was concerned for the Thessalonian church. What effect had his letter had on them? When would Timothy return with some news? Finally, Timothy returned to Corinth. He had some good news and also some bad news.
Most of the Christians are really growing in their faith, Paul. They're enduring persecution and trouble like good soldiers. They take good care of each other, too.
But there are still some problems, aren't there?
I'm afraid so. Someone has circulated a letter that's supposed to be from you, too, but it isn't.
What?
So some believers are confused. And there are still a few who are not working, but sponge off other believers.
Is it safe for me to return to them now?
No, I'm afraid not. Oh. Your enemies are still watching for you, ready to do away with you one way or another.
Then another letter will have to do.
Paul dictated his second letter to the Thessalonian believers. He encouraged them for their patience under trial. He also explained even more clearly the things that must take place before Jesus would return the second time. Finally, Paul took the pen in his own hand and wrote,
"Now here is my greeting, which I am writing with my own hand, as I do at the end of all my letters, for proof that it really is from me. This is in my own handwriting. May the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you all. Sincerely, Paul."
Is the letter finished?
Yes. Let's pray. Then you must go right back to Thessalonica. Be sure to tell them I wish I could come in person, but I can't.
Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth during his first visit. During that time, Many people came to know about Jesus Christ. People like Tuz and Zenon.
I hear Paul is leaving Corinth.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Why? We need him.
Other cities need him too.
And Aquila and Priscilla are going with him. I'm gonna miss them too.
So will I, but think what they've left us. A family that cares for us. A God who loves us.
And a new life.
Right. Hope and a new life.
You know, Zenon, I'd rather be a slave and have Jesus than be free and not know him.
Me too, Tuz. Me too.
Taking Aquila and Priscilla with him, Paul sailed for Ephesus. He had a little time there before his ship continued for Jerusalem, so he preached in the synagogue. Then, with Luke the doctor, Paul sailed to the port of Caesarea. From there he visited Jerusalem and the Christian church there, and then went down to Antioch. His second missionary journey came to an end. He had established new churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and Corinth. He had strengthened the churches in Turkey, but he was not ready to rest. Within a few days, he was ready to leave on another missionary journey. Ah, but that is a story for another time.